Sit down, guys. I think the question that we're all wondering is, how in the world did you manage your career at your organizations so you got to be president this year? There are past presidents out there in the audience going, that lucky son of a trouble.
Well, we've been talking about this, John, and we decided, we started this about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, with this plan, and it all really fell into place.
Careful planning. There you go.
It's called vision.
It is different, though. You're having to manage an organization under completely different circumstances. How has it been different for you, John?
Well, as a kid, we thought about risk management as production alone. And as you get older, you started to think about it as price, too. Well, now it's price, production, and input costs. This is something that's really hit our industry. You're looking at the escalation of these input costs. While the price gets all the media attention, the input costs and the risk management that's involved with this is huge. So,
yours is a piece of cake. I mean, what can they do to you on soybeans?
$15 soybeans.
Yeah.
We do have more volatility out here. It's a time of opportunity, but it's a time you better manage your business well, John.
Corn, this is the real question there. I'm looking at capital requirements that I've made the second trip. I've had my second come-to-Jesus moment with my banker about, we need to add another zero here. And oddly enough, I don't know what this happened to you yet. Not agriculture is a great place. People are very willing to lend into agriculture. We look better than about any other sector. But corn, we've got a real problem trying to manage those numbers. And is this something you're hoping that you can help, that the corn growers can help with the education process?
Well, we've tried to do that. I think farmers today are pretty nimble. They look at numbers. I think most of them know their bottom line and are going to compare what's going to be the most profitable on their farm. And I think the numbers prove that there's going to be a lot of corn planted this year. We're going to be a few more acres of soybeans and a few more acres of wheat.
I don't think we really know, so, do we?
Not for sure.
Do you guys have a sense of it?
We're hoping.
In the marketplace, or in the session this morning, I bet you had four different opinions sitting on that panel this morning. This is really up in the air, isn't it?
It is. We're hoping 87 to 90 on million acres on corn. We'll see. March 31st, we'll have a better idea.
I kind of even wonder about that, because they don't actually go out and look in the fields until August. I think this is going to be problematic. Plus, some of you guys lie. You know who you are. Had a guy come up to me. Now, I've been writing about my son coming back, and I don't want to bore you, but we didn't see this happening. He's 33, big surprise, but it looks like a great time, I think, to bring young people back. And yet I had a guy come up to me and say, I'm worried about bringing my son back, or daughter. Said, what if I bring him back at these good times, and it's just too easy? Is this legitimate?
Well, John, I think if you've got a family member that really has a passion for farming, I think they should look at it anytime.
Good.
They just have to make a decision. They're going to do what it takes to be successful.
I think that's the best way to... farming is a good place to be anytime. Well said.
But John, you touched on it there a minute ago. The capital requirements are astronomical now. It's going to be difficult for young folks to get involved. So they're going to have a family member, a neighbor, a friend, a mentor that's going to help them along the way. So these are times of opportunities, but they better manage wisely.
And risk management is key. I think all three of us have been through tougher times, and we can remember what happened in the 80s. And that's a message that I always take to younger people that are looking at agriculture. These things aren't going to last forever. These times like this aren't going to last forever. By the same token, that's typical of a farmer. Oh, God, the price is going to go down. Oh, what's going
to
happen?
I know. You're starting to get to me right there, because I'm wildly enthusiastic, but go ahead.
Well, no, the thing about it, these are great times. So let's enjoy it. Let's have fun today, right
Good
now.
Point.
Live
Good
for the
point.
Present.
If you can't enjoy 2008, when in the world
are you
going to have any fun, folks? I think you make a great point. I like your comment, Ron, about any time's a good time if this is what you want to do. And we've come back, and we've had children come back in the 80s, and we've had children come back in the 70s like we did. And I'm not sure trying to time the people market makes any more sense than trying to time the grain market. But I am detecting, when I go out and speak to farmers, that we're having the skills that got us through, being able to maximize the LDP isn't at the top of my list of job skills that I need right now. And I think we really need to work hard at upgrading our information capabilities, and also, if nothing else, meetings like this are crucial. And every time your organization has a chance to get a bunch of farmers in the same room, or growers in the same room, I think you can do more to help them get the wisdom of the crowd going.
I agree.
Do better than that. I agree. No. What kind of reason?
I do.
This guy, I'm carrying.
I agree, too.
Yeah. I'm carrying him, I tell you.
Hey, let's face it. We can get information off the Internet anytime, 24 hours a day. So there's a lot of information out there. We just need to know how to sort through it and pick out the valuable stuff.
Okay, read my lips. Agweb.com. Okay. I'm here to help. But, no, it is. It's a different environment that we've grown up in. And I also wonder, now I'm older than you guys, and it's one of those situations that we've got a lot of baby boomers starting to take a look at. This could be one of the greatest finish lines. What's your guess? Are the boomers going to go out gracefully, or are we going to continue to be one of the most self-centered, self-indulgent generations in the history of the United States? Do you look for any exit, or are we just going to grab every dime on the way out?
That's not answering.
No!
Well,
I don't know. I think it'll, it's probably going to vary a little bit. I think you're going to see some guys that really want to build their family operations, and they'll stay into it. Others will have different situations. Maybe they don't have family members that will come back. So it's going to be different for everybody. But I think folks in agriculture right now really have a lot to look forward to. I don't think this is going to go away. We're going to have some variability in commodity prices up and down, but I think we've reached a little different plateau, maybe, and I think it'll be exciting times for a while. I really do. Energy is changing the whole picture, and I don't see that changing short term.
The question we're getting, how long is it going to last? Well, it's not like they told us how long the bad times would last either.
That's right. The
question really, there's really no good answer. But it is getting harder, and I'm sure all the market advisors would tell you this too. We're having trouble predicting into the future. We've had nobody. If we sat around last year and talked to your predecessors, if I'd have told them, if we'd have said, okay, you know that this time next year, corn will be pushing 6, soybeans will be at 15, and God knows, nobody knows what the price of wheat really is, right? I mean, do we know what it is? But we're seeing there are some real translocations in the links on either side of us. And now, have you guys been talking to the livestock industry? Actually, the grain origination industry, our small elevators are struggling with this. What are you hearing?
It is a difficult time. The price discovery system, the volatility in the futures markets, locked up, expanded limits, tremendous risk, tremendous price swings. It's truly a time of risk management. And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about earlier, we've prided ourselves and talked the talk that we are the world's provider, that we are the best producers in the world, that we're going to be there. Well, we got to rise to the occasion.
Amen.
This is a challenge.
This is the year. And not, all three of us.
Yeah.
I mean, all three organizations. We don't have enough of anything.
We're going to need to grow more acres of wheat on every acre, more acres of corn, and more acres of soy on every acre we grow. So I think farmers are simply going to have to more intensively manage the way we do business and strive to get every bushel out of every acre.
And I think corn is probably, I'm a little biased here, but I think with the biotech technology, I think we have maybe led a little bit on that, and we've seen some really good trend line yield increases and actually accelerating, and if we get the decent weather, that's going to continue to happen. So we really feel good about our crop. We think we've got a lot of potential in the future.
Well, you mentioned weather, but don't you feel like we're better prepared for a wider range of weather than we've ever had before?
One word, biotechnology.
Right.
And in the soy world, a couple years down the road, we're going to have some events that is going to take a little bit of the pressure
off. Yeah, I tried
off.
To get them too. No, nothing, man. You can't book them. So I'll probably go to the guys in Iowa. They seem to get everything first.
Not true.
Right. We got, 184 ethanol plants? We've got 3 in Illinois?
Well, one thing about the biotechnology question, or the issue, a question with wheat, and not so much a question anymore, this is something that's going to make the people that were critics of biotechnology in the food grain world take notice. Nothing like $20 spring wheat to make people rethink their strategies and their opposition to biotechnology. And our customers are going to change their mind about resistance to biotechnology.
The American Soybean Association has been making trips to the EU to try to get these regulatory approvals for the new events, and what's really starting to drive that is the prices that they're having to pay for their feedstuffs.
Feed range, right?
Yeah. They're going to be more accepting here
more
in the next
accepting.
Year.
One thing that worries me, though, I've got friends in Europe, and I understand this, and their farmers understand this pretty clearly. They know where they are. They were using it, let's not kid ourselves, as a market protection device. They were using it for a number of reasons. But now what they're looking at is the fact that we're falling behind, and we're absolutely we're not getting the experience working with these things. It's pretty clear. The other thing is, too, soybeans, of course, lettuce. We've been chewing our way through soybeans in every conceivable product on our table now for 14, 15 years.
Right.
We've got enough data to say, all right, where's the problem? But I really think it's important. I really think it's important for agriculture not to dance in the end zone. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to confront
point.
The critics and go in your face. We don't need that.
No.
What we're just tickled to death to be where we are. We want to do our job, and we're not looking backwards to where we were. And I think that's one thing, especially for wheat. You guys have had that. This has been a struggle.
John, you're absolutely right. You know, the credibility of the farmer is great. We've got a great image, but we have more removal from the farm now. There's fewer and fewer of those relational links, those familial ties to the farm. So we've got to really be careful about how we present our image and how we take care of our customer. You know, the main thing that I've heard through all of my volunteer work is we've got to tell our story, we've got to tell our story. Well, maybe we ought to listen a little bit.
Bless your heart.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think it's time now. Our customers have certainly gotten our attention.
Yeah.
And which brings me back, we didn't touch on this earlier, but I'm sure, Ron, you've been talking to livestock groups, and we need to get down at the table and make sure that we're taking care of our number one customer.
Well, John, I don't know if you know this, but I'm also a hog producer, so I sort of know firsthand, you know, what the livestock
haven't
guys,
you been tempted just to send the grain on, you know, let's load the corn,
no,
the corn and the hogs both up?
Well, I'm pretty heavily invested in hogs, so that's not really an option. You know,
right.
It's one of those things that we're going to be in for a while. And we know we're going to have to work through this. There's going to be some cost adjustments in that sector. Unfortunately, in the hog industry, they've got hit with two or three things at the same time,
right?
Where maybe the other livestock sectors haven't. So they're going, admittedly, they're going through a little tougher time right now. But I think it's going to turn around. Prices will recover on the hog sector. And I think we get through the next few months, I think things will look a lot better.
Well, I'm glad you're hopeful. I quite frankly, we've heard different things. Small elevators are struggling with margin calls that they never began to imagine.
Right.
And I think you're going to see consolidation in that industry. That's that's the best they can do under these circumstances. But there's a deep concern, I know, if you look at your own pricing strategies in all three of our grains, is that we're starting to lose some of our options simply because the Board of Trade is not functioning to lay off risk like it used to. You need to read and come up to speed. We're not seeing convergence as we get to delivery, and that which leaves the elevators, they're just out to dry. And so consequently, you need to stay on top of everything. I know that in the ag media, we're working really hard to keep you up to speed, and all the advisors, and I think all the organizations, that this is a huge problem, is how can we know what the market situation is, but we've got to work on that a lot harder. It's a different ballgame.
It's going to be more difficult for farmers to forward price as we go forward because of the risk, you know, in the volatility. So you're going to see your local elevators maybe take more margin or basis. So it's going to affect farmers out there too. So you just have to really check around, make sure you're probably selling to the right place, place that's going to be there.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
in fairness, too, I want to say this, too, because it's happened in my neighborhood, and we don't like to acknowledge it, but I've got $9 fall beans sold. I was laughing and giggling when I sold them. Half my crop. Go ahead. Just you're looking at a man. No, you can't hurt me. I'm going to deliver some $2.58 corn next month. So, yeah, I got nothing here. You can't hurt me anymore. But this profession, and I think organizations need to make sure that we fulfill our end of it, too. I don't want any of this. Two counties over, a new customer shows up. Meanwhile, he's saying, I had a short crop, beans only made 30, can't fill my contract. And we've all quietly known this. I've known people who have done this. This will kill our relationship with our number, with our customers. We've got to make sure that we're all on the same page. It doesn't matter whether it's refuge for our biotech. We've talked the talk. You said it best, John. It's time to walk the walk.
One of the other bull eyes that we have on our backs is the environmental community.
Yeah.
Thinks we're the bad guys across the line. So,
aren't you seeing, though, at least a willingness to discuss a little bit better? I've had some talks with American Farmland Trust, EWG, different things. At least I think we can carry on a conversation, partly because there's so much more money involved now.
It has risen to that point. And we've got to tell a story that agriculture is part of the solution, not part of the problem. Whether you think greenhouse gas aggregation is real or not, there's perception's reality, and there's so much momentum behind it. We've got to be at the table, or we'll be on the menu.
Our three organizations, about a year and a half ago, John, went together to form a new initiative, along with industry, biotech companies, some NGOs, some environmental community people, and end product users like Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Walmart, some of those folks, to try to define what sustainable agriculture really is and tell the right story to our urban friends. So we're working on that. There's a booth on the trade show floor. Keystone.
Keystone's
a
name.
You know, the real message there, though, John, is if you look at production the last few years and use of chemicals, fertilizers, they've actually, per unit of production, have declined. And soil
Well, the fertilizer
losses.
Prices are helping
well,
on that, I'll
no,
tell you.
I think farmers have done
Hokey
it.
Smokes!
They've done it before the fertilizer price increase, I think. Utilizing fertilizer more efficiently. And I think that's been a good trend, and I think we have to tell that story a little better, and we have to continue to improve on it.
Transgenics has had a big role to play in that.
Right.
Huge role.
But I think you're exactly right. I'm looking for great things out of Keystone. I think it hadn't come up to my level of where I was familiar with it, and I just got into it. I talked to Dave Fider from Cargill about it, and I know they're excited about it. You need to check that out at the booth, folks, but I think it's one of the best efforts we've seen to try to bring a lot more players and try to cement our ties to the links up and down the chain. We're not in this all by ourselves, and we're not even in it in our own country. We're dealing with a global marketplace. Thank goodness for China.
Yeah.
You know, hog producers are just going, yay, China.
Yeah.
Go, China, because they're sopping up a lot of hogs that would really, we could turn into 1998 if it wasn't careful here.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
So, and we need to keep in mind that we're not only working for ourselves, but this year, not only is America watching, the American farmer, the world is watching, and we need to farm like they are. Gentlemen, it's been wonderful having you with us. Anything that you wanted to make sure you got in, whether it's Hi Mom or...
Plant corn.
Plant corn, thank you very much. Yeah, great.
All the money's in soybeans.
I was afraid of this. They're still bidding for eggs. Folks, let's give them a wonderful round of applause.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.